Morning. I wanted to share with you a writing from Jean-Pierre de Quesada, who wrote a book entitled The Sacrament of the Present Moment. About a third of the way through the text, he gets this passage. God hides from us in order to raise souls up to that perfect faith which will discover God under every kind of disguise. For once they knew God's secret, disguise is useless. They say, "See, God. There God is, behind the wall, looking through the trellis, at the window. O divine, love, conceal yourself. Mystify us, arouse us, and confuse us. Shatter all our illusions and plans so that we lose our way and see neither path nor light until we have found you. Where you are to be found in your true form, in the peace of solitude, in prayer, in submission, in suffering, in succor, given to another, and in flight from idle talk and worldly affairs. And having tried all the known ways and means of pleasing you, and not finding you any longer in any of them, we remain at a loss until finally the futility of all our efforts leads us at last to leave all to find you. Henceforth, you yourself, everywhere and in all things." One of the games that we all love to play growing up is the game hide and seek. We love to play it with our friends, with our parents if we can get them to. There was one family in particular that loved to play hide and seek. Three of them would hide. One would be the person who was it, and they would have to shut their eyes, cover their ears, and count to 50. It was a great old house with plenty of closets upstairs and in the basement, plenty of rooms to hide in. Sometimes when Dixie, his wife, or Andrew was it, Dad would take Allison, the youngest, down to the basement to what would be arguably the best place to hide in the house. There's this little space between the furnace and the foundational wall, which they could slip in if they turned sideways. It was pretty scary down there in the dark, though, with their backs against the ice-cold cinder blocks, the cobwebs kind of going all over their hair and their clothes. Their face is inches away from that old monster of a furnace that would belch and make all kinds of noises whenever it would start up in the winter. And then they would hear the alarm raised upstairs, "Ready or not, here I come." And the hunt was on. And with a thrill, it was of standing in the dark, holding your breath, trying to make absolutely no movement or make a sound, knowing that there's someone looking for you. Two hearts, one younger, one 28 years older, both pounding equally fast in the darkness, each hoping not to make a move so as to alert someone who is searching for them, until suddenly they hear a blood-curdling scream, usually two because of the person who found them, as Dixie or Andrew were discovered in whatever more obvious place they had chosen. And so the lights would go on, and they'd all come out and talk about how scared they were, laugh about it, and how much fun they'd had at playing hide and seek. The spiritual life, as the text from Jeremiah 29 suggests, something like that, like a great celestial game of hide and seek, full of all thrills and adventures of the game we played as kids. "If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me," says the Lord. There's no metaphor even entirely adequate, but I think this one is suggestive of the intriguingness of finding God that we may have in this spiritual journey of following. First, let me suggest to you that the spiritual journey requires an element of playfulness. That's what I love about this first quote from De Quesada that caught my attention, is this sense of play in the spiritual life, this energy of seeking and joy in finding God that we need to have about us. It's almost humorous, really. "For once they knew God's secret," I'm quoting again, "disguises were useless. They found God wherever they looked. They say, 'See God,' or 'There God is, behind the trellis wall, in the window.'" And you kind of think, how refreshing, a renewed effort of love for finding God. The spiritual life has a game of divine playfulness, really, right? The theologian Aquinas believed those of us who take our faith too seriously, in other words, stringently, of making up, this is exactly what you do, these are the rules you do not break, this shows a serious lack of trust in God. As he put it in his medieval expression, unmitigated seriousness leads to brokenness, a lack of trust. Sometimes I do think many of us take our Christianity too seriously. We're too stringent of this is the rules that we have to follow instead of a relationship we long to have. What we may really need is to lighten up, to worry less, to let go and enjoy more, to discover the playful side of God, the come and find me, almost with a chuckle in his voice. We can almost imagine that. When we lose that playfulness, that childlikeness, we lose the delight and desire that God asks us to have, kind of reminiscent of, unless you receive the kingdom like a child, you shall not enter it. You kind of walk through these things and think, how would a child take these things versus an adult? You think about it, we're told, go tell people about Jesus, and you imagine, what would a child look like whenever they're doing that? Hey, I want you to come to my church. I want you to hear about what the preacher's going to say. I don't listen to it, but I know I'm supposed to go and tell you guys about this, right? Versus what would an adult think about this? Oh, I've got this new task of I've got to tell people about Jesus. Well, I've got to know all these different things before I ever go to them. And you know what? I'm just too busy to do it. I don't want to do it. We've kind of lost that love for finding God, that playfulness that I think God really wants us to have in following him. Another thing is, if it's like that game that we played as kids, then we kind of have to suspect that maybe God is the parent who enjoys when we find him. The one who appears in disguise as hiding. God is the one who's hiding. Isaiah 45 verse 15 says, truly you are a God who hides himself. And that's what Jacob discovered whenever he was fleeing from his brother. He was sleeping out under the stars on a rock for a pillow. And he had a dream where he saw angels going up and down a ladder. And he says, truly, God was in this place, and I did not know it. And so God plays this game with us. And even when it seems that he's not there, there's a surprise that hopefully we wake up and realize God's right there. When and where and whom we would least expect to find God, we can find him. So that we find ourselves saying, I didn't know God was here, but I found him now. Third, like the game we played as kids, it seems that for it to be any fun at all, there needs to be darkness. How much fun would it be if you played hide and seek in broad daylight or with all the lights on? It loses its luster there of the fun that you can have. And as we know, some days in our life can be very dark, can be very drear. And sometimes we feel like we've lost quite a bit. We feel quite lost, wandering through our days, wondering, it seems we have no idea where we're headed really, right? Martin Luther, one of the people that we look to quite often, has some quotes towards this. Not knowing where you are going and even what you are seeking. Luther kind of points towards the necessity of being authentic in your spiritual walk is a not knowing where you're always headed towards, but knowing you're following where God is leading you towards. Discipleship is not limited to what you can comprehend, wrote Luther. He also said, you cannot find your way yourself. So he concluded, so you must let God lead you as if you were blind. And so we discover, when the light of faith seems to go out and we find ourselves without any vision of the future, we can't see what's in front of us, that all we may be able to do is put our trust in the one who talks in Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by a road they do not know. By paths they have not known, I will guide them. And so we may find quite unexpectedly that we often do end up stumbling in the dark. In a dark room where we can't see, we think we're all alone, only to find that God is there too. In the darkness, when we think we're all on our own, we find out that God is everywhere waiting for us to find him. And we come to understand these words of grace anew, almost the, see, I told you, when you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. Finally, we come to this strange truth, the great surprise, this profound paradox of this celestial hide-and-seek game. While we are called to seek, Scripture clearly points out that in contrast to the game we played as kids, God is the one who does the finding. God makes a way to us. He finds us. We may be seeking for him, but we are hopelessly unable to find him on our own. Like this quote here, you want to seek God with all your life and to love God with all your heart? Good. But you would be wrong if you thought that you could reach God. Your arms are too short. Your eyes are too dim. Your heart and understanding too small. To seek God means first of all to let yourself be found by God. So the rules of this hide and seek game go something like this. Seeking is our task. Finding is God's. The finding is God's promise to us. God works with us, for us. God's gift of grace in our lives of seeking him. As Quesada put it, those who truly seek this treasure have nothing to fear. They can only fall under the almighty hand which leads them towards the goal, from which they are straying and puts them back on the path they have lost. If we seek with all our heart, God promises that we will find our way home. Where, when, or exactly how, we may not always know. We may be a bit in the dark about where we're going through. But the promise is, I will let you find me, says the Lord. But it goes, but go on seeking God in every place and in every person. Why do we need to know this? Because we are often perplexed by the elusiveness of God in our daily experience. Where is God in my life? This playfully gives us a picture of experiencing seeking God, searching for him as he wants us to. These experiences often are unexplained. The task of noticing the footprints of God can be pretty daunting. Where is God leading me to? Is that a footprint of God? The question is, where is God in my life? It is brought to light. The renewed effort, where is God in my efforts, in my struggles? He's there, and we need to seek him. You might have noticed that we didn't deal too much with the text. No background, no exegesis, no hermeneutics, really. And yet, this is a biblical sermon. Why is that? A closer look at Jeremiah reminds us that this letter is addressed to a people who have been offered a superficial solution to their profound problem. Written to the exiles that were in captive in Babylon, Jeremiah advises them to disregard the calls that they will soon be returning to Jerusalem. Instead, he suggests that they accept their situation and make the best of it. The exiles of this time of a spiritual darkness for Israel. In the chaos of being taken from their homes, they have lost every familiar symbol of God. They've lost their homes. They've lost their land. They lost the temple that's in Jerusalem. They lost their traditions that they were able to follow. Where would they find God now? Where would they locate him? The text in Jeremiah's answer is a stark challenge to this culture in the Old Testament of what they were saying is, we have to be in a certain place to find God. And the answer is, God can be found anywhere for those who are seeking him. Even in the empty spiritual wilderness that Israel has just now found themselves in, they are able to find God. A powerful message of grace. If you seek me, says the Lord, I will let you find me. Grace is a great reversal that upends our comfortableness, our distorted systems of what righteous living is about, and calls us back to the Bible. The word of grace comes not when all is well, but precisely at that moment when we think there's no hope. Grace comes in. In the book of ministry, grace is oftentimes forgotten, put in an appendix or put in the footnotes for the, oh yeah, and if you mess up, God has grace for you, but don't mess up. Grace is a crossing over from this, a realization of we do not hold up the standards, we don't slice the pie, we don't make and control the outcomes, but we humbly bear the witness of the great and mysterious God who never abandons or forsakes the world, who still seeks for the world to know Him. Jeremiah calls us to that reality. When all the forms and structures fall away, there's still someone who our prayers go to. Someone who is present if we call Him. So what sort of response should we have to this grace? It's all too easy to go into this, well, here's the list, do this and you will live mentality. The answer can be found in the differences between discovery and being found. It invites a radical reorientation in that nothing changes, but yet we have a different perspective to where everything changes. He asks us to open up and make room for God in our lives and invokes the simplest, most basic reality of life that we need to have is trust. Trust in God. How do we do that? First, by paying attention to what's already in our midst. We are given this wonderful image of waiting in the basement next to the furnace. And we wonder what thrills are about in the darkness of what are we going to run into? Trying to be absolutely silent. Two people next to one another. Both hearts pounding equally fast. Each of us hoping not to make a move so that the one that we know is seeking us won't find us. Here's the image of the contemplative prayer. Entering into silence, thinking they're going into a place of nothingness where nothing is there, only to find that God is in the whole universe to be found. We are like the man who walks around the house wondering, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? Only to realize they're right on top of his head. He thought they were nowhere to be found. It was right with them the whole time. Second, we're invited to lighten up, to not be so stringent about, I have to obey the rules, and to worry more about the relationship God wants to have with us. We cripple ourselves spiritually when we take ourselves too seriously. Instead, he advised that we ought to expect less of ourselves and expect more of God to show up for us where we need Him. That we are not doing this by our own strength, but God through us. God, on whom our very existence depends. This does not negate our quest for God, but it does put it in the proper perspective. Grace is letting yourself be found by God. This is the good news to people who are accustomed to striving to overcome every problem that they face. This is the idea I wanted to give to you guys today, the quest for finding God. Don't lose that God wants us to be childlike in seeking after Him and following Him always, even whenever things are difficult. Continue to follow God. That's the invitation. And if anyone needs those prayers for today, we can do that. We can pray for you. If you have any of these needs, please come tell me during this next song as we stand and as we sing.